Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint XP Podcast. Check out our international radio show and daily podcast at checkpointxp.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
It's the return of the Checkpoint XP Podcast!
Yeah! Return of the Mac!
We back.
Yeah, we are. Welcome back to our weekly podcast. Now, there's going to be some changes on the show.
That's two podcast returns this week, guys.
It is. Yeah. It is.
All kind of stuff coming back.
The other identity came back this week, and the weekly podcast coming back this week. A couple of changes. First of all, the show is brought to you by the B-Pod Studios at bpodstudios.com. So make sure that you, if you haven't subscribed yet, that you go and subscribe. I don't know, maybe you're checking the show out live over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. And also, leave us a review. Got to leave us a review, guys. Whether it's on our daily show or whether it's on the weekly podcast, we always like to read reviews here on the show. And we do have one to share with you today.
We do.
We haven't done this show.
I know.
Since like the Obama administration.
Hasn't been that long, has it? Time all blends together.
Well,
nowadays.
It's a daily show review. So,
okay. Well, that counts. Whatever.
Don't sweat it. One of the things that really challenged us about this show was, like, we asked ourselves, what is this show?
Yeah,
like,
what do we do with this show?
What is this?
What exactly is this show?
The problem we ran into a lot of times was we come up with a great topic and be like, well, we should just talk about it on the show because it's such a good topic.
Right. There's no reason we can't just talk about that for Checkpoint.
Right. So the challenge became defining exactly what the content of the weekly podcast would be.
You wouldn't believe how many people, like, when we tell them this issue, like, oh, well, you guys swear on that one. We like that.
Okay, well, we're glad that's not what you build a show off of.
You can't just define it that way. The foundation of a whole show can't be cussing.
That's right. So,
well, I guess South Park. But besides that show.
No, the foundation of that show is satire.
Fuck that. Regardless, even though we can swear, that's not what defines this show.
Correct.
Right? On Checkpoint XP, the daily show, and as by extension, our national radio show, you know, we talk about very, you know, tightly, we talk about esports and video games, the news that's surrounding them, topics that we come up with, lists that are pertinent to, you know,
things
the theme.
Relevant.
Yes.
Relevancy. Selling bathwater.
Relevancy is the key word.
Listen,
there.
We try to keep it mostly consistent on the theme. So we asked ourselves, what could the weekly podcast be? Like, where is there a hole that, you know, we don't have content going?
Correct.
Hit the phrasing drop.
Oh, you have no drops. You have no drops. There.
Hey, phrasing!
There we go.
You gotta be snappy.
They were down.
Well, he had it muted anyway.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Plus, I got distracted by a great Ace Watkins tweet. We need a president who can take on both Koreas. North for human atrocity reasons, but of course South for StarCraft reasons.
Oh my God. Ace Watkins is a jewel that Twitter doesn't deserve.
Yeah, the world doesn't deserve.
Anyway, getting back to the point, we asked ourselves, so what's the purpose of this show? And if we talk about esports and video games on the daily show, the national show, this show, you know, should be for kind of everything else.
Yeah,
right?
There's a lot of things that we're into that aren't just esports and video games.
Right, exactly, right? Like, even though that may be, you know, the core of what we're into,
right,
that doesn't define us wholly as people.
Right, we enjoyed talking about Game of Thrones.
That's right.
That wouldn't fit on Checkpoint Daily.
That's right.
We made a whole new show for that.
We did. We talked about Chernobyl.
Yes.
That sort of thing. Doesn't quite fit where we normally would try to talk about it, so maybe the podcast.
Exactly. So, you know, we tried to, you know, put our finger on it. So, gaming lifestyle.
Yeah. Things that surround
the gaming world,
right,
that, you know, gamers are also interested in, kind of falls into the purview of this show.
Yes.
So, you know, we're going to be doing some revamping there may be, I don't know, there may be a name change, even though I want to, I personally want to just call this the Checkpoint XP podcast, because I feel like everyone understands that, right? Like, it's not, it's,
everyone gets it,
yeah,
I think.
Right? Okay, so, but there might be a name change at some point. I'm just saying this so that everyone is clear. We do intend to bring this back to a weekly schedule.
That's right.
Even though we took, what, like 2 or 3 months off doing this?
We've been off since the end of April.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So we really wanted to figure out, you know, the definition of this show. So that's going to be a big part of it. We're also going to try to build in breaks here on the show. So, you know, if somebody maybe wanted to come along and sponsor.
Yeah, if someone, you know,
show.
And maybe, you know, maybe you're out there listening, maybe you represent a brand out there or somewhere.
That might be interested in getting, you know, some advertising on a podcast.
15-30 second advertising break.
That's Let us sell out.
Yeah, right. We're going
to give us the opportunity to sell out.
I'm so parched, guys. Let me just take a drink of Coke here. See, just like that. It's that easy.
Oh, that easy.
We're going to have to. I guess Coke gets that one for free, huh? Mm-hmm.
Checkpoint
one.
XP
you get
podcast
that one.
Live from the Tahitian Treat Studios.
That is the most random soda brand ever, right?
Hey, man, you know, everybody's money is green, Nate.
It's true.
That's fair.
That's
the
true.
First one's free.
Norris, see, this is a little callback to something that used to happen in the old studio, too. So we were watching Critical Role, and one of them were drinking a LaCroix on Twitch, and Katie goes, oh, my God, they're drinking a LaCroix. And I looked at her, I go,
stop.
I goes, a what? She goes, LaCroix, that drink that doesn't have any flavor.
LaCroix. LaCroix.
Regardless.
I hate you for saying that. Don't ever.
But that's what it is.
I don't care.
That's what it is.
LaCroix is fine.
LaCroix.
No, LaCroix is fine.
Anyway, I proceeded to make fun of her for a half an hour.
Wow.
Very good.
Yeah.
How are you a journalist so okay with just saying things incorrectly?
Because I did a Final Fantasy podcast where nothing means anything in terms of pronunciation, and I got corrected a motherfucker.
And even
so
in today's
bounces right off of me.
And even in today's modern politics, nothing means anything anyway, Norris.
Yeah, it's 2019. The rules don't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to call it LaCroix, so get used to it.
LaCroix.
LaCroix. That's it from now on.
I'm cool with that.
I'm not okay with that.
That's where you're drawing the line, Nate.
I am.
LaCroix.
I am. I draw the line there.
Okay.
So yeah, some big changes in store for the show. But we hope that you still enjoy the weekly podcast. To that end, this week we're going to be talking about season 3 of Stranger Things.
That's right.
So, spoiler warning, if you haven't watched it, by the way, what are you doing with your life?
You're an idiot.
Yeah, what are you doing with your time, guys?
If you haven't watched it, you're an idiot.
Time management.
If you haven't watched it, you don't understand why Scoops Ahoy is a life-changing brand, okay? you need to go and watch season 3 of Stranger Things. Just do it right now. Like, pause this.
You can pause the podcast and watch it.
You can do it in a day.
Yeah,
I know.
I did. That's right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the topic of conversation here on the Checkpoint XP podcast. But before we get to that, we generally like to read podcast reviews.
Yeah, we do.
On the podcast. And this seems like it seems like an appropriate place to keep this, right?
I think so, yeah.
Like, everyone likes to hear their podcast read, or their review read on the show. I have to believe that because we've gotten almost none since we stopped doing this show,
right,
and stopped reading them on any of our shows.
So clearly that's the only reason anyone leaves reviews is to hear them read.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so. So let's read it.
So by the way, if you are wondering where to leave us a review, is it Apple Music now? iTunes?
Oh, it has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it's Apple Music.
Apple Podcasts. There we go. Apple Podcasts, the app. Download it. It's the only app market that I know of, or podcast market that I know of, that allows you to review podcasts. That's where we're pulling these from. So if you're wondering how to get them to us, it doesn't matter your region. It doesn't matter if you're in Europe or Canada. Or the United States. We see all of them. So, this review comes to us and was left by KPV17. So, thank you very much for your review.
Sounds like a bot.
Says, best video game podcast, period.
Oh.
As in, like, ever?
Yeah.
Of all time.
Best bot ever.
Period. Full stop.
He's not a bot.
He might be a bot.
Nate, Norris, Robbie, and Joe are absolutely spot on and real in every podcast. They show their passion and knowledge for all things video games and express it freely.
Oh.
They are hilarious and at the same time informative. It's the all-around best podcast about video games. I listen to XP Daily every morning when I drive into work. Keep up the awesome work, guys. Can't get enough. Thank you, KPV17.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we really appreciate that, Mr. Bot. Please don't subjugate us.
Stop calling people who like us bots, Robbie.
Why? You're... Google, put him on the internet. He could be. You don't know.
Robbie.
The deep mind is out there.
Everybody.
Robbie's paranoid.
Not a bot.
Well, I gotta tell
you. He has pretty good reason to be.
That's fair. I get it. I'm just saying, you know, thank you, Mr. KPV. I'd say if we could have that kind of positive reinforcement on a regular basis,
it would be nice, right?
I feel like it would really do wonders for us.
Instead of just chaining us to our desks and saying, make all the shows.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Norris, I saw you looking outside. It looks like Armageddon's getting ready to happen out there, doesn't it?
No, it just looks like a cloudy day.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not as hot as I would have thought today.
Oh, it's coming.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, I know.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, I know.
That's how it gets you. It makes you think, wow, it actually looks like nice and breezy out. And you step outside and have a heat stroke.
Yeah. So thank the maker that we'll be able to get back to the crib and at least not do nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'm really looking forward to that. Coming up on the Checkpoint XP podcast. That's right. We're going to break down season 3 of Stranger Things. This is your final spoiler warning. That's ahead next on the Checkpoint XP podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast. It's time to talk about Stranger Things Season 3. Now, before we get started, I do want to remind everyone, this is a spoilerific discussion, so if you have not watched it yet, this is your last and final pullout warning. Go and watch it. If you don't have Netflix, borrow somebody's password. It's pretty easy these days. Go watch season 3 of Stranger Things. All right, let's talk about how much I love Steve Harrington. He is my favorite person on the planet. Seriously, this character just gets better with time.
And remember that originally the plan was to kill him.
Was to kill him.
Halfway through the first season.
Bravo, Duffer Brothers, for realizing
really?
A good
that
thing when
the
they got it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I think it was going to be him instead of Barb was the plan.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
They made a much better decision.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine if Barb was still working at Scoops Ahoy?
I mean, I don't know if she'd have still stuck around, but yeah, Steve going from zero to hero, man.
That's right.
Yeah, you talk about a character in Steve who so quickly went from screw you, Steve, to oh my god, this guy's amazing.
No, because what it was is a subversion of that trope, right? Of the cool 80s high school guy trope, right?
Six-inch hairdo.
Yeah, the guy is super popular, and in every other movie, he either dies,
he gets
killed brutally, or, he gets his comeuppance.
Yeah.
But now, instead...
He got his comeuppance, and then when it came time for, you know,
to rise above.
Yeah, the relationship that he and Nancy had, he recognized that that her and I don't even remember the other guy's name. He like played three scenes.
Will's older brother.
Yes, thank you.
Jonathan.
Yeah, that's it. When he kind of realized that they were a better pair, like there was a bit of a character flip there. Like, I think like he definitely went from that kind of very strict archetype, and then they're like, well, now what do we do with him? And really figured out a great role for him to be kind of like a de facto father figure.
Steve has big dick energy. That's what it is.
No, not just that, man.
Yeah, he does.
He does. And he finally wins a fight. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I love about Steve's character, as opposed to a lot of the other adult characters or older characters, shall you say, because Steve's still technically a kid. But why I like him is he has this realization like halfway through season two and definitely in season three that like this whole everything I've placed value on is BS.
Yeah.
All of the things that anybody in any of these sort of social spheres, you know, social politics, popularity, none of that means anything. And as somebody who didn't like leave my town to go to college, like I went to college in my town.
Right.
There's still a very strong, that strong feeling of, oh my God, there's these people who are leaving and going on to achieve great things and doing this and this and this. And here my punk ass is sitting there working at the mall.
Right.
What am I doing?
Right.
That necessarily wasn't my feeling because I didn't just work at the mall, but I'm saying,
but it's a relatable.
It's a relatable feeling of, here's a guy, like we all know the person who was popular in high school who did not.
Who didn't leave. Yeah.
And their ass is still there.
Oh,
like they're still in high school mentally.
Yeah.
Like that was where they peaked.
That's the, oh yeah. Absolutely.
Is that not the worst person to encounter though sometimes?
It's depressing. Oh,
yeah. The person who peaked in 12th grade.
Yeah. No, it's depressing because I feel bad for them, right?
Yeah.
You know, like clearly their growth has been stunted. You know, they still, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of like character traits that they all kind of share in common. They're still really partying in their 30s and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like they haven't grown up at all, because you need a lot of those experiences that, you know, either moving away from your hometown or going to college,
being out of your comfort zone.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I really truly believe that. I think that they're, you know, It's kind of like my views on homeschooling and you know, like the weird social stunting effect that can have on people. It's sort of the same thing. And you're right. It is always depressing to kind of meet that person. But I like that that's kind of like the struggle of that is what they're showing in Steve's character.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really like that.
I like when with Steve especially, we see that he remains like one of the most reasonable characters, especially in that second season and into the third season, where, you know, like the kids are like, come on, we're going to go do this. And he's like, no, absolutely. No, we're not going to go do this. We're going to sit here and not go fight the Cthulhu horrors.
No, but at the same time, he's almost always the first one to be like, yo, this particular group of kids, it like is always involved in stuff.
Yeah,
and if they come
stuff.
To me and say some weird shit is happening, I'm going to believe them because they have never been wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, like believing them and then, but I mean, I don't know. Like, you're right. He does have a lot of that in the second season.
Yeah.
But then come third season, it's sort of like as soon as they hear Russians, it's him and,
him and Dusty.
Yeah, him and Dusty.
Dusty Bun.
By season three, if that kid says anything to you, you're believing him. Like, you no longer have like the privilege of being able to say,
true,
that sounds stupid.
True.
Meanwhile, poor Joyce is getting the exact opposite of
that's,
that
but
in
that's
the adult
what,
world.
But that's my point though, is that they take stuff to Steve and Steve says, I have no reason not to believe these
sure,
kids.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
it's crazy, but this town is made of crazy.
And then,
so.
Yeah, and then Joyce, you know,
my
goes
magnets.
Off.
My magnets!
And she's trying to tell everybody who will even halfway listen, and everybody just looks like, oh, there's old kooky Joyce again.
Yeah, yeah. By the way,
it's so unfair.
It is. By the way, speaking of the Russians, season three is the first introduction of the Russian element into Hawkins and into the Stranger Things universe. And I thought that this was a really interesting way to go with it, because, of course, being set in 1984, still very much the Cold
Red
War.
Scare.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I love this idea that, you know, there's like underground super science that's happening that, you know, is not necessarily checked by a government. It's right. just, you know, just like
ambiguous Russians.
Well, but yes, there are Russians, but it also has an even bigger, like almost international conspiracy.
Yeah,
that seems like is underneath that.
It's like anything with Stranger Things. It's playing on all the tropes of the 80s, and they were very sure. much evil Russians of the 80s. They were straight out of a James
yes,
Bond movie.
You're right.
From
yeah,
the,
yeah, absolutely.
Where it's like
down to the big bad Terminator Russian.
Right. You're telling yeah. me that in the era of the height of the Red Scare, at the height of communism, you're telling me that Russians were able to buy up large tracts of land and build an underground science facility in the middle of Indiana? I don't think so. But being
in the
Stranger
80s,
Things and being an yeah. 80s story.
Right, right.
That's what, like, think about
it. It's a little
like,
bit more. Suspension of disbelief.
What's
yeah.
the movie where the paratroopers come in?
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. Yeah. It's
they
Red
reference
Dawn.
It in the thing. There's like, I think it's Dusty who goes, like, it's
Red
it's
Dawn.
Red Dawn.
By yeah. the way, Nate, did you find yourself thinking, because, you know, it's 1984, were you thinking, like, we're only 2 years away from Chernobyl? I found myself thinking that constantly
I
with
did.
The Russians.
I didn't think that, but usually, like, if it's something around my birthday, that's how I relate it. I'm like, oh, I'm like 6 months from being born when
right.
this is set. So I did the same thing with Chernobyl, where I was like, oh man, like that. I was alive when that happened.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was 3 years before I was born, but yeah, it's like. Again, like I know we mentioned it with Chernobyl. It's like you don't realize that stuff happened really close to your lifetime. Or
it's
in
true.
It.
Well,
yeah.
the
As
thing is like in I love the fact that this season, like the mall is sort of the central hub for which the plot spins.
Yeah,
because that is the central hub for which people's lives spun for the better part of like I want
to
say
like
from
10
about,
to 15 years.
Yeah, I
want to
say from about 1983 to about 1995.
The mall
was like mm-hmm. the central. Of your community,
it's true, yeah,
or communities, and I found that to be so cool and interesting because we're talking about the mid 80s going into the late 80s where mall culture is at its peak,
yeah,
and that whole montage with like 11 and what's the other girl?
Billy's
Max.
Sister.
Yeah.
Max.
Max.
There you go.
Yes, that whole montage. Like, I saw a few people online who were talking about, like, oh, they just made them girls. They just made them, like, oh, they're not.
It's the 80s, man.
It's the 80s.
That montage was so 80s.
That's the point. That
yeah.
montage.
It was like straight out of Valley Girl.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was great. Yeah. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. And that's the thing is that I hate when people get to a point, especially when it comes to Stranger Things, because of the youth cast, because they've made these kids so, you know, so well written and so well thought out that they forget that they're children.
Yeah.
And
right.
they're not allowing them the development, the character development of being children. And that's what kids did.
Well, not to mention one of the themes of this season for 11 was, you know, in the
dump his ass.
Well, yes,
I dump your ass.
So in the first season, it was kind of 11 learning what it is to be human. In the second season, it's her coming to terms with the experiments on her and
right.
her powers. And in the third season, it's learning to be a person.
Yeah,
learning to be a human girl. You
right,
know, just who you are and the life you could have lived if you hadn't. Had a really messed up beginning.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, your read of that given the way that this season ends, right?
Right.
Because it's almost like it culminates in her becoming a real girl, the loss of her powers.
If it were my decision, this season would be the last we see of 11.
Agreed. I think that her arc has wrapped up
yeah.
perfectly.
And very well, exactly. I think over the three seasons, we have seen her go through three very mm-hmm. important character shifts and really wrap up well.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see them take a break from 11, you know, sort of like how they, you know, move to different settings
yeah.
and entirely different people in life is strange.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'd like for them to focus on a different group of people. Let Millie Bobby Brown age up, you know, grow up.
We'll catch up with her when she's in college or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. Or she comes up later. Or
maybe
she comes,
can't stay out of that life
yeah,
of just
she,
like the weird and the paranormal. She gets pulled back in somehow.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I feel would be the best way to, you know, sort of reintroduce somebody like that, because I think as she gets older, yeah, you can't just go from being, you know, a telekinetic to being regular and knowing all the stuff that has been involved with how you became a telekinetic, or
and then just lead a normal life, yeah,
you know, and then just go work at H&R Block.
That's not gonna happen.
Yes. Like, I feel like, you know, knowing what she knows and experiencing what any of those kids have experienced, I think it would be intelligent that, you know, 5, 6, maybe even 7 years down the road, we revisit just that group.
Yeah.
I think that would be really dope.
In the sort of a similar way to the way that It is doing part one, part two. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be a really kind of cool thing. And I think it would be even cooler if it was still the same actors, right?
Yeah.
Like, in It, there's a different
group.
Right. Like, in It, there's a different group of adults that are playing the kids.
Right.
But I think, like, the Duffer brothers have time. And I don't think Netflix is chomping at the bit to cancel this series.
No.
I think that they've got enough runtime to get another 3 seasons, you know, 4 seasons, before they come back to these characters in some sort of way. And I think that that's an interesting way to present it.
Well, and I could absolutely see them doing something like that, just from the stance of, I mean, everything else in Stranger Things has ripped off Stephen King. Why not take the idea from It?
The one issue, or the one concern that I have about it, is that people are so in love with these characters that if they tried to do, like, in season four, whatever it is, if they tried to divert to another story or to another cast, that there is a large group, or at least a vocal group of people, that would reject it so much, then the headlines would be, you know, viewership is down, blah, blah, blah.
No, but that's why you keep David Harbour's
arc going. You keep one character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Because people are so invested in what happened to Hopper that they're going to keep watching these other characters enough that you're going to start to care about them.
So are we all in agreement then that leave the American?
Oh, he's
that top.
Probably the American.
If it's not, then
who is?
What a weird sentence to put in there.
It very much is.
Nah, it's Hopper, because we don't see him vaporize.
No, he went into the upside down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We don't see him vaporize. I'm sorry. That sequence and the sequences when they activate the little ray gun has gone out of its way to show that people get turned into mush when you're near it.
Well, dummy scientists that walk back into the... You idiots. Like, you were safe.
Well, no, but it if you don't explicitly show me somebody dying...
Right. I'm not going to believe
I'm not going to believe that they're dead.
Right. Well, especially this show, which does not kill main characters. I mean, who have we lost overall? Barb?
Bob Newby.
Bob.
Alexei Smirnoff.
Alexei Smirnoff, my favorite character.
Which, by the way,
we only lose characters who are too good for
this,
us.
This Joker over here, seeing Bob, didn't realize he was Sam Gamgee.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, what?
He didn't know that was Sean Astin.
Oh
bro.
My God.
How did you not know that that's Sean Astin?
I get texted the next day, because Sarah and I went back through and watched season 2. She hadn't seen it yet. And the whole time through, we're like, yeah, he's great. Everyone loves Bob. I'm like, he's too good for this world. He dies. Sarah's sad. And she texts me next day. She's like, it's Sam. That's why he's instantly trustworthy and lovable. And I'm like, yes.
How did y'all not know that?
How do you not instantly?
He looks exactly the same.
You talk about a guy whose face has not aged.
No.
Right? Like,
he's as fresh as the day they threw the ring in Mountain Dew.
Which, by the way, Lord of the Rings is nigh on 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's creepy almost. But yeah, just not, he's not a hobbit.
Old,
it's like when you see like Elijah Wood today and you're like, not being a hobbit, he looks different. I don't know.
How many movies of his did you see from like the 80s?
Of Sean Astin's?
Yeah.
Oh, very few, actually. I did not know Sean Astin until Lord of the Rings.
Because like, he really has not changed even since then. Like, he hit permanent puberty, and that's all. Like, he's never aged out of that.
No. Axis Rawl says he's also the brother in 51st Dates.
He is.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you're right. He is.
Yeah. Oh, Axis.
He's Doug in 51st Dates.
Yeah, he sure is.
We also lost Billy.
It's all right, because he's going on to play Adam Warlock, probably.
Yeah.
God, he could
Let us all not mourn for Billy.
By the way, what an excellent actor. Oh, my God.
That's what I mean, for the actor. Like, he's not missing out anything by not being in the next season of Stranger Things. He's going to do fine.
So, all right. Let's talk about Billy for a minute.
Sure.
All right. First of all, season two, we see his insufferable asshole.
Instantly then
we
see
that dad instant, but we see where that comes from. We see the energy. We get even more context as to why Billy's an insufferable asshole.
Sure.
But then you have that scene where after he's been possessed by the mind flare and he's in that house with the girl and her parents.
Oh,
and I'm just like, this is the creepiest shit I've ever seen.
You're,
and this
you're
guy's
like Pleasantville vibe.
Yeah,
yes.
The fact that he can flip between 80s badass and Pleasantville.
It's so creepy.
When he had his first sort of like weird like vision where he just slams
the lady's head.
Because it was
Mike's mom.
Mike's mom.
Like, I'm like, that can't be real. There's no way he just did that. And then it shows him standing there again. I'm like, oh my God. Oh, like
but that you thought moment, it, though. I legit was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Like, dude, I there was a couple of times where I had to remind myself, oh, he didn't actually do that. Because, like, you know, you go back to Mrs. What's her last?
What I don't remember. Mike's last name.
What is
Mike's Mrs.
Last
Mike.
Name? Anyway,
nah,
Mike's mom.
Mike's mom. Yeah. And you're like, oh, wait, but she's already been. No, wait a minute. She wasn't. That was not. That
dream
didn't
sequence.
Happen. Yeah. But just like, yeah, the actor was a delight to watch.
The
like, he was such a good villain.
Yeah, I will happily say that throughout that season, like his different characters that he plays, because he plays a bunch of different characters are very good. But you will never convince me. I will go to my grave on this. His best episode is episode one when he is just like the guy that all the moms in town want to get with.
Oh,
and
totally.
They all think he's like the best.
Mrs. Wheeler.
That's Wheeler.
Yeah.
No, totally.
He is the best in episode one when he is that character. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Him talking to Mike's mom and basically letting her know, listen, meet me at the hotel is going down.
Yeah.
Like
your private lesson.
Straight up. I'm sitting back.
Studies.
I'm just like.
You're like the way. On this guy,
dude, right?
Yeah,
I'm just sitting back like, dang,
that's a natural 20 on persuasion with a plus five
up.
Charisma score, man.
Or as we call it, say it in the black community, swag on 100,000 trillion. That's what we say. Because I mean, he went straight at it.
Yeah.
Coming up next on the Checkpoint XP podcast, was there a villain as good as Billy? I'm going to put forth my suggestion, and we'll give our final thoughts on season 3 of Stranger Things. That's coming up next on the Checkpoint XP podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
It's the Checkpoint XP podcast talking about season 3 of Stranger Things. We were just talking about Billy and the amazing job that actor did. I would like to also...
Before you go.
What?
Before
the chat
we leave
is pointing Bill, out. We have
Christine
to
in the chat.
He
super
was.
Producer Kookie Persona. Just reminded us that the actor that plays Billy was also the Red Ranger in the Power Rangers movie.
Oh.
He totally
I did not,
was.
I didn't
and I completely... For, I didn't
the
realize.
The long
it.
Hair is what threw me off.
It's yeah, the Jerry curl.
Because
Jerry
when I picture him without it, I'm like, boom, yeah, he sure is.
So I would like to put forth a suggestion. Someone who was as easily hateable every time he was on screen, Jake Busey. I hate him so much. He is such a good character actor. Come on, the newspaper reporter that used to harass Nancy the entire time.
Nancy Drew.
Okay,
yep.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Jake Busey, because literally that's, I remember sitting in the room and saying to Rob and Sarah, like, you Gary Busey looking ass.
No, that's his son.
Oh my God, he looks just
how
like
how do you not
mother.
Know Jake? How do you not know how? Of Busey when you hear them?
Dude, but, he was in Starship Troopers.
Yes,
wasn't
he got
he?
A knife through his hand.
I'm sorry.
Apparently he did know. He just didn't know that he knew.
No, that's the thing. I cannot fathom someone having a kid with Gary Busey. I'm sorry. It blows my mind.
Joe, do you have face blind?
Cause no, because I picked it out. I said, you Gary Busey looking motherfucker.
By the way, also going down that same road, one of the best new characters also that works at Scoops Ahoy.
Robin. Easily my favorite new character.
She is awesome. And by the way, this blew my mind, is the daughter of Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
The moment
see it,
and when as soon as you say it, you're like, oh,
the
yep, she
moment that
is.
She threw sass back at Steve, like, I instantly fell in love, and she learned Russian in a day.
Dude, I was in love the moment she held up the sign.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you're a perfect character. You fit perfectly in with the group. Yeah. Well,
giving him
done.
A loss as he was starting another interaction. No,
again, listen, I think this was another great character and another great opportunity for the writers, another great thing from the writers, because everything in this show, everything in this season pointed to them becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Everything.
Setting up expectations.
Setting up all the expectations. And then you get to the point where they've been drugged, puking their guts out, sitting on a mall bathroom floor, the most disgusting place I could probably ever think of.
Yeah.
And just flat out, it's just like, no, you jackass. Everything is not about you. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about you. I was thinking about the girl that liked you.
Yeah.
And again, putting Steve in a terrible situation where he's forced to have to be good guy Steve.
The way that he responded was so great.
Oh.
And then when he followed that up with, like, really? Her?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly like the perfect way of handling it is like basically saying, oh, you can do better than her,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, because she was ready for him to stand up and walk out after that and, you know, want nothing to do with her.
But it's like, it's such a great, like, coming out scene. Like,
yeah. It's really good, especially really for good. The 80s, where they could have handled that really insensitively.
You're very right. There's a bunch of ways that could have gone down. And again, I think that this just points to, you know, like the Steve is the ultimate, like, good guy character. Like, he really has I really admired the way that he dealt with that. It was so much fun.
Christine in the chat saying Maya Hawke for Gwen Stacy. Yes. Please.
I can see it.
Thousand times.
I can see it.
Yes.
I can see it.
By the way, can we take a moment to talk about Carrie Elwes as the sleazy mayor?
Oh. Yo.
See, you mean the role that he was born to play?
You mean, hey, can you play Jonas from Twister again? Because it's your best role?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. He's such a good asshole.
No, his best role is Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, I mean, or the Dread Pirate Roberts in Robin Hood Men in Tights. He's Robin Hood.
What?
Yeah. Carrie Elwes is Robin Hood in Men in Tights.
You've never seen Robin Hood?
No, I have. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's totally Carrie Elwes.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
God. Yeah, it sure is.
It's not in a long, long time.
I'm going to watch that tonight.
Yes, everybody's going to say in The Princess Bride, but I'm going to be honest. I like Robin Hood Men in Tights more than I like The Princess Bride.
So do I.
Fight me.
I agree with that. Robin Hood Men in Tights is a classic.
Classic.
The fact that Joe agrees with you, maybe you should just change
it. Yeah,
no, I don't care. I don't care. Dave Chappelle's in that movie.
Oh, my God. Yes, he is.
Wait a minute. He is. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Is he Blinken in that?
No, Blinken's the blind dude.
The blind guy, that's right.
He plays I Sneeze.
you know what other movie, Chappelle's in? Chappelle's also in Con Air.
He sure is.
Damn
what?
It, you're
he
right.
Absolutely is in Con Air.
Yeah.
Who is he in Con Air?
Pinball, I think is his name. He's the guy that they leave at the one place and, like, they end up finding him up in, like, the landing gears later in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He's totally in Con Air. Oh my God.
Oh man.
And Lucky Number 11.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of movies, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle has bit parts in a lot of really good movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is really funny.
So what do you guys think is being set up for the next season? Because now we've got the Russian element in Hawkins. And, I mean, where do we go from here?
If they don't now start with, like, another, like with Hop in Russia, escaping some blah, 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 whatever. But it has to be another kid with Hop, because I don't see how they do the next one focusing on the same group when they've separated
see,
them.
See, I don't, here's the thing. I don't think you necessarily have to make it kids. I think that's...
Well, no, you're right.
I think if you try to do another group of kids, I think you do run the risk of people
going, this
is the original group.
Let me rephrase. Because at this point, the kids that were in her group are growing up, right?
Sure, yeah.
And it would make sense that the Russians may have acquired one or two of them. So I think that in the prison where Hop is, they have one of those kids that's now grown up who doesn't trust anyone. But because of the relationship that he had with 11, Hop recognizes something in them, and there's this inherent connection, and it starts with them escaping in some way.
But you're talking about a callback all the way to season two during an arc of season two that nobody liked.
And that everyone hated.
No, yeah. I agree, and I think that's one of the things that damages or puts a lot of pressure on that idea. Because honestly, I do want to see more about those kids that were experimenting it's at a disadvantage.
No. You've got to focus on an entirely different group of people. I don't want to say kids, because you're right. If you try to supplant it with another group of kids,
yeah,
I think that's a little bit weird. Like, I think that they might have to be very, very distinct from this original group.
It would be the Mass Effect Andromeda thing all over again. Those aren't my party members.
Right, but the thing But you've got to slow drip the Hop stuff.
Yeah.
That's got to be the thread that keeps people going through the entire season. Because if you blow that in like an episode or a half an episode, like, then people don't, they're just waiting. They just want the Hop stuff and they'll tune out after it. If it's a slow drip.
And no, because this show is all about subverting expectations. And if they take the whole show or even half the show being like, oh, we're going to show you Hops. Aren't we going to show you Hops?
No. It's like you get a little bit of, you get a little bit of Hop's arc with each episode.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's screenwriting 101. That's TV writing 101. Mm-hmm. If you have a character that you're trying to use to entice the viewers into caring about another set, Lost did this all the goddamn time.
You can actually do both of those, and the slow drip that you give is the experiences that he had in the Upside Down getting to Russia. Because I don't believe for one second that he popped in and then immediately came out in Russia.
No, I'd agree with that.
No, but I think there's also an opportunity for Hop to gain something out of being in the Upside Down.
I agree.
Either a perspective or some
a latent power.
Someone
trapped there.
Well, but there's also the fundamental question of why is whoever they're keeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are keeping an American, we know that, but why is whoever they're keeping, why are they feeding them to the Demogorgon?
There is something valuable about the American that they don't want to just feed him like everyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, not just that, but are they waiting for that interaction to do something? Like, are they waiting to throw somebody in to find another 11 that can take down a Demogorgon with some kind of power? Is that the purpose of
that?
Are
they just food, or is it a test of some sort?
Yeah, because that didn't seem like just a feeding.
No, that seemed like
they were studying what happened.
We need the Demogorgon to react to something.
Exactly.
Or this person to react to the Demogorgon besides fear.
Right. I think it's either got to be someone to either face the Demogorgon as a challenge, or
the
Demogorgon won't
into a weapon of some sort,
or the Demogorgon just simply won't react to you.
Yeah, no.
I mean, imagine if they throw Hopper in and he spent so much time in the Upside Down that it just doesn't attack him. Yeah,
it just thinks it's of the Upside Down as well.
Exactly.
So I agree. I think whatever we have in the future, it will revolve around Hopper. But I think he has to be, in my opinion, a drastically different character.
Oh, definitely. For Upside Down,
he has to be fundamentally changed. Because if he just still is playing the grizzled cop role, to me, that's boring. I don't need that anymore. I got three seasons of that.
Yeah.
I need something else. So I don't think he reacts necessarily with kids, but I do think it's important that he react with someone that gives him that role of, I must protect them.
Right.
I don't necessarily think it has to be a kid, but I think if he, you know, has that protector sort of role, then you could build a lot more of a season and a story around that.
So I want to talk about real quick before we wrap up here, some of the effective emotional moments that this season provided. There was one really early on that hit me to the point where I didn't know whether I'd be able to continue watching the series. It's the part early on where Joyce is sitting around. She's watching an episode of Cheers and kind of like thinking about Bob.
Yeah.
Right. That shit is so real. That is so real. I do that. I attach memories to shows or movies and experiences, right? So, like, if I'm watching something, it reminds me of a person, right? When I watched Twin Peaks, there was someone who I had a relationship with that was a big fundamental part of our relationship. Yeah. So it elicits feelings and memories of them. I have that same thing, but for Stranger Things, right? So it was like the show that I have this particular attachment to because of a person.
Validating your feelings.
But not just validating, but like showing you, like, yes, this is a thing that
everyone
happens.
Does this.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were so sensitive in it.
It was startling.
Isn't it so nice to hear Nate talk about his feelings and his emotions and stuff? This is a new
kind
thing.
Kind of boring.
A little bit.
Keep those locked inside.
Yeah.
It was startling because I was not prepared for it.
Oh, did you cry?
No, I didn't cry, but it made me, I had to stop it. Like, I had to turn off Stranger Things for a minute, and I had to go, damn, am I really right? Because second season two, I avoided. I didn't watch it for like 3 months until after it was out.
Oh, okay. That's what Joe said, the same thing to me. It was too much. He couldn't watch it. That's why he was late. I'm watching.
What? No.
But it was a really good, like, kind of touching moment.
No,
that
it was, and I thought that was really cool, because I mean that's sort of how we open up with their story, is that that's something they used to do, that was their pastime, if you will. Yeah. And I think those types of things are really cool. I think to me, the concept of Dustin having this girlfriend who didn't live in Hawkins.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody giving them shit about it the whole season.
Oh, of course.
Which, of course, is brilliant, because I think everyone had
a Canadian girlfriend when they were growing up.
Yeah, everybody, even if it was just some girl, you know.
Girl you met at camp. From a different school.
That was the one.
Right there.
I date this girl who doesn't go to my school.
Yep.
I've been on both sides of both lying and telling the truth about that, and having both reactions of people believing, not believing me. Yeah. So.
Went to her prom, then she refused to come to mine, and people were like, sure.
Yeah, well, to be fair, wasn't nobody about to drive all the way up there to go to your prom.
It was literally this town over.
Well, I mean, from your town to town over is 50 miles.
Yes, she did. That was about 20, but still. Again, out there, 20 miles is like 15 minutes. So
If that.
Right. Yeah. For me, it was actually because, you know, I have a lot of friends that come and go or fall in and out of the stuff that sort of binds you together.
Yeah.
So I know that it was memed a lot on Twitter, but for me, it was Will just wanted to play D&D.
Oh, poor little Will.
And you just have Mike and crap.
Lucas.
Yes. Mike and Lucas just caring about the girlfriends.
Yeah.
No, we gotta figure out this girl stuff. And Will's just like, play D&D for 20 damn minutes.
That's definitely the one that I sympathize with.
It felt
the most.
Yeah. Where Which friend like, are you?
Oh, I was Will. Oh, I was definitely the one who was like...
Was also Will. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like growing up as like gamers, you had your friends who stayed with you as gamers and ones who kind of lost interest and grew up. Who grew up.
Yeah.
And so you'd be like, hey, you want to hang out and play whatever game you're playing? And they're like,
it's fucked up. I've been to Mike and Lucas more times than
that. For sure. I started dating in like sixth grade.
Yep.
I think that was my very first girlfriend. And like, I was real serious about it every time.
How serious can you be with a sixth grade girlfriend?
Well, most of my relationships were like 8 months plus. So it was
that's long for middle school.
That's what I'm saying.
Y'all might as well have got married.
That's what I'm saying.
In middle school years.
So, the 10 years thing makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah,
right?
It does. Yeah. No, but I've been a Lucas and Mike more often.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Mike was a little shit, first of all.
Okay, Mike was definitely, but Lucas, when he was like, man, she broke up with me 5 times last month. I'm like, dude, I've been there.
Lucas was the experienced one. He's been through his paces. But like, when Hop was trying to have a heart to heart with him and Mike starts whispering, I like, because at first, I was on Mike and Eleven's side.
Yeah.
And then when he starts doing that, I'm like, nope, I'm Hop side now. Hop, team Hop.
Punch him in the face right
team
now.
Team Hop. Punch,
totally.
Punch that kid dead in his chest. Yeah. Okay?
Absolutely.
First of all, that's your house, and he got to respect your rules, okay? Keep the motherfucking door open 3 inches.
Hop was already going through some shit. You know, Hellboy had just bombed the box office, so I get it.
He's channeling a lot of that energy. I feel you, man. No, Mike was being a little shit about that for sure.
Yeah, he was a whiny baby the entire season, man.
Yeah, it was hard to be a fan of Mike this season.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely not a Mike fan.
That's why
season.
They gave you Steve and Dustin, like, being awesome for
that's
most
true.
Of the season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love Lucas, but we don't use these fireworks. It's basically dynamite.
the only thing that I had a weird time adjusting to, and overall I think it did work for the season, but having like these dual storylines going on where like half the cast was dealing with this and the other half the cast was, you know, underneath in this Russian facility the whole time, like there was a lot of like, I don't know, just a weird sort of disconnect for me.
I feel like we only saw the core group actually assembled
two episodes.
I think just the one time,
just the last two episodes,
just when Dustin comes back. Right?
That's it. Yeah.
That's the only time we saw them all together, which is very weird for that show.
Yeah, like I said, it worked, but there was a weird.
But I think that makes sense though from a storytelling point of view, because that is how,
and a growing up point of view.
Yeah, that is how friend groups fall apart.
Well, and at the end, they obviously, you know, half of them go their separate ways.
But that's how it happens, is people get girlfriends or people get different interests, and then it becomes much harder for all four or five of us to get together, and eventually it just never happens again.
People get a job at Scoops Ahoy.
Yeah, exactly. And to that point, you know, the very end when everyone's moving away, when the buyers are packing up and Eleven's going with them.
Oh, she read that letter. That ripped me apart.
Oh, that was tough, man.
See, and actually, because when he went back or for a moment when she's giving it to her, I'm like, this isn't going to mean anything. You wrote that letter. And then in that, to show that he actually
sat down
onto it. Yeah. Like, man.
Yeah.
But the best moment throughout the entire season, nay, throughout all three seasons.
Oh, God.
Turn around. That never-ending story stuff.
Oh, God.
Oh, I could watch that sequence over and over and over
again. It was so good.
It was so good.
So good.
You have to do it, Dusty Bun.
The fate of the world is in the balance, and she's going to hang up on it.
Dude, the Steve and Robin being tortured by the Russians...
Oh, yeah.
That whole sequence is incredible. And, like, the number of memes that has spawned.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the one I saw the other day was, like, it's him asking, he's like, when is season 4 coming out? I already told you I don't know. And they just punch him again.
Oh, man. Well, it has been an exciting season of Stranger Things, and excited to see what comes next for the series. Make sure you connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for the Checkpoint XP podcast. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about the show, interviews from past episodes, and so much more. Visit our website at CheckpointXP.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. That's a little repetitive, but that's fine. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review. Checkpoint XP Podcast is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, I'm Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to CheckpointXP.com.